WrestleTalk.com.
This is Rob Van Dam. You are listening to WrestleTalk Radio. Boo.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online sports entertainment, WrestleTalk Radio.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
This is the Rated R superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho.
I'm in five halls of fame. I wear a kilt. I play the bagpipes. Who am I? I'm Roddy Piper, for heaven's sake.
Breaking down everything in the world of professional wrestling in the WWE.
It was right here in this room my father taught me. He said, keep your friends close and your enemies closer.
TNA.
What are you looking at, lady? Never seen a pair of boots before? Mind your business.
I think that's a man.
Oh, she needs a wax or something.
You're right.
Ew.
And the indie scene.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Pac.
This is Hotshot Johnny Devine.
Hey, everybody, this is good old JR Jim Ross.
With your host, Tim Stein.
Your internet slow. Did you disable cookies?
Omega.
Mirror, mirror on the wall. Who is the fairest one of all?
Mace.
Why so serious?
And the producer, Sir Rocket.
Did you know I'm utterly insane?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Have a nice day.
Yeah, baby.
And welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. This is Omega introduced to some very epic music for a change.
It's music from Night of Champions a few years ago.
Huh.
Yeah, I was surprised too.
Well, it wasn't like Kid Rock or something.
No, it's not. It's called Two Steps from Hell.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a little bit epic. It's a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's nice for a change.
Yeah, it's a fresh change of pace, I suppose. Wait till you get later in the show and the music goes downhill from there.
Oh, good lord. So, did I do the be all end all part yet?
Yes.
Okay. Just making sure we never talk at this part of this show, so I'm like throwing off now. Joining me tonight, we have Mace.
I feel like I should be swinging from some yardarms and swashing some buckles and yarring and drinking rum.
That's Friday. That's Talk Like a Pirate Day on Friday. Friday.
Well, that music just made me feel like I should be in the Pirates of the Caribbean movie or something. Just. Yeah, just very off-throwing with that music this week. That's too epic for wrestling themes. What are you doing? Play more crap.
Wait till the break. Anyway.
Yeah, wait for it. Don't worry. Crap is coming.
Crap is coming. Yeah, sort of. Kind of. So aren't you supposed to introduce the Canadian?
Yeah. This is the part where I normally introduce Tim Stein, but Tim Stein is late.
yeah, he's late.
Yeah, which means the baby's due in 9 months.
Yeah. Him and King Kins are going to be so proud. Seeing as King Kins is his personal assistant, well, we know who's taking care of the baby when Tim goes on the road. He's going to hear this later and go like, screw you guys.
After last night, nothing this different. Is nothing.
Yeah, last night, if you weren't here for Cards Against Humanity, shame on you. We kind of killed King Kins. But that's kind of sort of the norm.
We didn't kill him.
We just inserted objects.
Yeah. Hey, Rock. More flags.
More flags. That's football going on, yes. We have San Fran and Chicago right now. For those listening live, it's 17-0. About to go to the half. But we're not here to talk about football because Omega be like, "Huh? What? What?" Which the sad thing is, when we do football picks on CB Radio and for the whole network thing, the network pick'em group, Subway was leading after week one.
What the hell is he smoking these days that's giving him these awesome predictive powers?
And sadly, when he picked those, he had no smokes whatsoever.
Ah, so when he's actually, you know, normal and sober, he's actually, like, quite a smart human being.
Yeah.
Then he's like Barney from The Simpsons.
This is true. Then we had him pick Takeover, and he went 1-4, so it balanced out. So there you go. We have a lot to get into tonight. We're going to be previewing Night of Champions later in the show, and we're going to tell you how you out there can win a copy of 30 Years of WrestleMania, the new book being released tomorrow by the author Brian Shields, who will be on the rack on Thursday. I'll tell you how you can win a copy just by playing Pick'em. So stay tuned for full
Omega,
details.
You and I need to start quitting the network when they run these competitions so we actually have a chance of winning something.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, hosts are not eligible for said prizes. Sorry about that. But we'll tell you about that later in the show. But as always, at the start of the show, we ask the question, what's your win? What's your fail? And we'll start with, what's your win, Mace?
My win for this week is the Cena-Heyman promo from Raw, which almost got bumped by the awesome four-way at NXT.
We'll talk about that later.
But, the Cena-Heyman promo this week was just, Heyman at his finest. So much Jewish. Yeah. Heyman, so much Jew, so much promotion.
I'm going to give you a present, and it's not even Hanukkah. Love that line. Love that line. That was awesome.
I like the one, you don't need to worry about selling your soul to the devil. The devil sold his soul to me a long time ago.
That one was good as well.
It's like, Heyman's busting out some awesome quotable lines in this promo. And Cena playing into it was just as good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the whole thing where he looked like he was about to tell the fans to shut up and then he comes back in the ring and starts ripping in the pole. Great little swerve. So it's just, Heyman going, please, please tell them to shut up, please, just on his knees begging. It's, love it.
It was Paul Heyman at his best.
Paul Heyman at his most Jewish.
Kind of, sort of, yeah. Well, that's your win. What's yours, Omega?
There's a bunch of things I liked.
Well, pick one for now.
Okay, for one...
Just one. We'll talk about others as we go along.
It's so considerate of you.
I know, right? Letting you talk about what you want to talk about. How amazing.
Jumping Jericho.
Okay, talk about it.
That DDP yoga man.
Yeah.
That was miracles. Good cage match to start with. Bray Wyatt gets some credibility back.
Desperately needed his credibility back.
Yeah.
Like, legit needed it back.
We're going to get into that. But, Jericho, goddamn, dude. That was hilarious because afterwards he was telling people he thought he broke his toe on the lion's salt. I'm like, really?
Yeah, he said that on his podcast where it's like, I thought I almost broke my toes in the and it's like, whew, he was crediting DDP yoga for that, saving himself there. Because originally it started where he told DDP he thought he broke his toes, but DDP thought he said he broke his toe, and that sort of spread the wildfire rumors at one point. That he actually did break his toes.
The man jumps off a 25-foot cage.
And just shrugs his shoulders.
Yeah. Oh, well.
I'm up here. What else am I going to do? I can't go down. They're the Rowan and Harper are there. You know, the Harpers, as JBL called them on SmackDown. Which is awesome. So his big dive is your big win.
Yeah, it's a hell of a way to start a Monday night.
Especially for a season premiere.
It was a season premiere I never noticed.
It's like the Weather Channel having a season premiere.
You never know, they may. They may at some point have a season premiere. We just never know. So there's that win, and we'll get some other wins after we go to fail. And what's your fail, Mace?
We have technically two shows in a row, but it's actually been going for 3 weeks. Anything to do with the fucking Bellas?
Not a fan of Jerry?
No. You got exactly what you expected from having Jerry Springer on the show, but at the same time, it was still a Bellas. It was just, no, shut up, don't care. This is manufactured drama for total divas. I don't give a shit. No one gives a shit. And he didn't even have Steve with him. He had some guy called Jason.
Yeah, because Steve has his own show.
Okay.
Because Jerry Springer became that big of a star, he did Dancing with the Stars. Steve took over for Jerry for a few weeks because Jerry lasted a very long time on Dancing with the Stars. And people were like, you should host your own show. So Steve got his own show.
Okay, then.
I heard it on a sports show the other day. I was like, okay, then. That's how my Steve left that show. But yeah, once again. We have a Jerry chant now because someone on YouTube put it out there for a 10-hour video of the chant Jerry.
Well, it's not the worst thing that's ever been put out there on YouTube.
Right, Omega? Oh, that was too easy. Alright. What's your fail for the week, Omega?
I don't have... Well... Yeah, I'm kind of with Mace on the Jerry Springer angle. I'm so fucking sick of the Bellas and... So fucking sick of the... This isn't in the segment. I think we're already going to be done with that topic.
That's fine.
It's probably going to be the Bella segment. To be fair, that's probably the worst segment on the show. But I muted it, so it can't be my fail, because I didn't listen to a goddamn word of it.
We had Jerry Springer go out on a stretcher.
That proves how tough the WWE is. All the fights he's been in on his show, and this, all the fake fights that have been on his show, and this is the fake fight that took him down.
What? Justin Roberts put out on his Instagram on Monday that he was actually on the Jerry Springer show years and years ago. It's like, wow.
Why would you say that?
I don't know, but he put it out there, and he showed the video of it. It's like, okay, then. So, there's that.
So, who was he dating on the show? A sister or a goat?
It never actually said whether it was a goat or a sister. May have been a third cousin. Who knows?
No, there's no other options.
There's no other options.
The goat is a third cousin.
The goat is a third cousin. All right, so that's your... You going to give that as your fail, or do you have another fail in mind?
I don't really have anything that's just like, okay, this is unwatchable. I just have things that make me question other things. You know, like the fact that the bunny is now more over than Adam Rose.
I was going to bring up the bunny. All right. Yeah, the bunny's becoming a thing of its own at this point.
Yeah, and here's the thing about the bunny. Is the whole we're building up to like a reveal of who is under the bunny head. Well, whoever it is better make sure he can do all the moves that the random wrestler of the week under the bunny suit can is actually doing.
I heard like one person say it's going to be Darren Young, but then you look at the bunny, he's had white hands every time. So it's like, how could it be Darren Young?
Gloves. maybe he has the same disease that turned Michael Jackson white.
Oh yeah, that's where he's been.
I don't know. I'm trying to find logic in a WWE storyline.
There's your problem.
That's true.
Which leads to this question before Megan gives another fail of some sort. Who should be the bunny?
That's actually a good question.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of who's out right now that could actually fill that spot.
Beyond Zack Ryder?
Beyond Zack Ryder. Well, Zack Ryder's... Technically, he's there. But he has less presence than most of the injured roster right now.
Unless you make it someone from NXT.
You can make it someone from NXT, but then when the costume comes off, there's no surprise to it. It's just like, oh, it's that guy. What's his name?
Is it sad that I actually want it to be Damian Sandow?
You know the fucking... You know, the whole, the, okay, it'd be character assassination, but the funniest thing would be if it was Bad News Barrett.
It would be character assassination, but it would be surprising. It'd be the guy nobody ever thought of.
You can't deny this. It's entertaining. It's terrible, but it's entertaining.
Oh yeah.
The chat room says the bunny still has more moves than Cena, and Starscream Josh goes Christian for the bunny.
I think it's safe to say that Christian's not going to be an active wrestler ever again.
Yeah, the guy's pretty much done at this point. Yeah, he's good to go. They just aren't doing anything with him.
They're afraid if they put him back in the ring, he's going to get hurt again.
The bunny is Rey Mysterio on stilts.
You know the problem with the bunny having white hands is that most of the guys who are out that would probably fit that role are not white.
Yeah.
That causes a problem now, doesn't it?
Kinda.
God damn it, WWE. You're gonna disappoint us no matter what happens with that bunny.
The bunny is Sting.
You know what? Just to really piss on WCW completely and utterly, yeah, that wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, Sting can't fly like that.
It's like the only ones we've got out right now are like Darren Young and David Otunga.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Them and Bad News Barrett. So, like, there's no win scenario here.
Again, it could be like they could bring up Sami Zayn that way.
No. You do not take one of the most talented guys on the NXT roster and put him in a fucking bunny suit as his debut into the company.
It could be Prince.
The IWC would set off the apocalypse.
It could be Prince Devitt. No.
Considering we're just throwing random recent NXT signees, and this one would actually make sense. If it wasn't for the actual size of the bunny,
yeah.
This one would actually make sense. Kevin Steen.
Yeah, I was going to go with Kevin Steen, but he's...
Steen would be the type of guy who would debut in a bunny costume and go, I don't give a shit.
Yeah, but sadly he's a little bit overweight for the bunny.
Yeah, exactly.
So, eventually they'll reveal who the bunny is. If you have a suggestion, tweet us at Wild Talk Radio, and or put them in the chat room, and we'll go back through them later in the show. We'll ask Tim who he thinks the bunny will be. You have any other fails, Omega? Oh, or anything else that sticks out?
Not offhand.
All right.
General things, but, you know.
How about something good? You said you had more than one sort of win. What's another win that was going on throughout your head?
More creepiness between our favorite two divas.
Yeah, let's mention that a little bit. The moment between Paige, the belt, and AJ Lee. Talk about it.
So, after a tag match, AJ, you know, puts a kiss on the belt like she used to do.
But first, remember, during the match, she tagged in via her boob.
Oh, yeah.
There was that. That lit up the internet.
Where's the gif?
It's out there. Oh, trust me, it's out there.
I have no doubt.
I think it was out there within a half hour or two.
They're fast now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm surprised how fast they are by gif when they gif thing during Raw.
So, titty tag.
Hashtag titty tag, yes.
AJ Lee and Paige win. AJ grabs the belt, puts one of her old kisses on it, hands it to Paige. Paige kisses it in the exact same spot. And that's about as PG as WWE is going to go with that angle at this point. It's the closest they'll get to my fanfics.
Right.
I also liked on SmackDown where they're stealing each other's moves.
Yeah, she locked in the Black Widow on Samurai.
I'd forgotten she's around.
Well, they took her off TV for a few weeks because they sort of dropped the angle where they were going to date Hornswoggle.
They sort of dropped Fandango completely.
Yeah, he's gone for now. He's off TV.
Fandango is the bunny.
No!
he's the right size.
The bunny is way more enjoyable than Fandango is.
He's the right size. He has the right leaping ability. He also has the skin color.
Bunny has actual charisma, though.
I think you figured it out, Mace. Fandango is the bunny.
Fandango is the bunny.
You're right. No. I swear to God, I'm shanking you.
You have any reaction to the AJ Page moment, Miz?
I'll be honest. I've actually got to go back and rewatch that now because I missed the entire thing. My brain switched off halfway through Raw.
All right, then. Well, I've heard from Omega a little bit. What about you? Is there anything else that sticks out in your mind? Sort of little nuggets before we really get into something warmed up.
Gotta give props to Adrian Neville, Sami Zayn, Tyler Breeze, and sort of shock of shocks, Tyson Kidd for the Fatal 4-Way match that they put on at NXT TakeOver.
Uh-huh.
That was an awesome match. And, like, a four-way match is hard enough to do with the four guys in the ring, giving everybody enough time. But the way that those guys were performing, just going all out, doing whatever they can get their hands on, you know, blocking each other, and just all-around excitement and pacing of that match was excellent.
Ah!
I was actually...
I haven't watched NXT that much since it actually started on the network, so I missed a lot of that until I saw the Tyson Kidd promo earlier in the night on the show, and I just went, oh my god, stop. Please, for the love of fuck, stop.
That's his thing, fact.
It's written on his groin now.
It is.
I saw that.
His dick is a fact. it was a tremendous match. I mean, NXT TakeOver is quickly becoming just like their WrestleMania. It's like they have to go all out for this show now.
Yeah. But even surprisingly enough, the Charlotte and Bayley match was exceptionally well done.
Oh, yeah. And that's the kind of match that gives me hope for the Diva division.
Yeah, like, I haven't really been much of a fan of Charlotte's since she debuted. I sort of more looked at her and went, okay, she's there because of her old man. And, you know, she can do some gymnastic stuff. So yay. But, no, she actually put on a really good match with Bayley, and they were pulling off some very interesting moves that I wouldn't mind stealing.
Charlotte has grown as a performer over the last 6 months. She really has. She's really taken to wrestling. And if you think about it, she's only been wrestling for, what, a year, year and a half at this point? And the confidence she has in the ring, she has work to do, but she's getting better by the moment.
Oh, hell yeah.
Well, look at the bloodline.
Well, yeah. Well,
to be honest, I don't think it's got much to do with the bloodline. It's got more to do with the trainers over in Florida.
Because I was going to say David Flair. Same bloodline. There is that bloodline. But, yeah, she gets the charisma from her father, and she just knows how to do it. She plays to the crowd very well.
I love how you counter my bloodline point and then go immediately to her father.
Oh, I know. But she has qualities that her father has. She plays to the crowd very, very well.
And unfortunately, that's going to be her biggest weakness with all this. Like, she's got the confidence of her father. She, you know, does the whole woo thing. Her music is a remix of her father's music. She's going to have one hell of a hard time stepping out from behind that shadow.
Well, is she the kind of wrestler who wants to?
If she wants to get anywhere in the business, she's going to have to.
Well, not necessarily. We've had a lot of second, now even third generation superstars. Right? The problem is, you know, which I will give you credit, there's a difference between, you know, Rocky Johnson and, you know, Ric Flair. You know, sometimes it's a little easy to overshadow your predecessors, but I don't know. Right now, it's. I don't see it as in her father's shadow. I mean, her theme music has notes of her father. Like, literally, they borrowed the trumpets from the 2001 Space Odyssey music. Beyond that, it's not really a remix of that song. And aside from the name Charlotte, there's not a whole lot connecting her to Flair.
Right, and, well, don't look at her new t-shirt.
but the thing, like, to be honest, if you are a second or third generation wrestler, the best thing for you to do is to try and step out from behind your parents' shadow. Take a look at Ted DiBiase Jr., for example. Couldn't sort of get outside of the I'm the son of the $1 million man thing, and in the end, you know, he ended up retiring. Then you look at guys like, you know, Bo Dallas, Bray Wyatt, you know, both second generation, overshadowing their fucking father at this stage.
Yeah.
Father was IRS. It's not that hard.
Yeah, good point. But, it's okay, for a better example, Randy Orton.
Oh, yeah.
You know, had stepped out from behind the shadow of being Cowboy Bob Orton's son and has become one of the top guys in the company.
But that took a few years.
No, I'm not saying that they have to step out
straight away.
I know. Over time, they've got to sort of distance themselves from that family lineage so that they can start making their own names.
Well, it still depends on the talent, though, because you've got guys like, you know, now we have Curtis Axel, who's kind of embracing his past. Well, he tried to step away from that beforehand. Michael McGillicuddy,
and look at what's happening. The same thing's happening now. Curtis Axel, he's gone nowhere since embracing his heritage. It just seems that if you embrace your heritage in the company, you're gonna hit this glass wall, at least creatively.
But at least for Charlotte, she's a female, and there's really no female history legacy that she's trying to overcome. Her father was her father. She's setting her own legacy as a female athlete in WWE. It's a little different.
Yeah, we're not going to get the female legacy wrestlers for at least another probably 10 to 15 years when we start seeing, you know, McMahon Juniors and Trish Stratus Juniors making their way into the company.
It's very, very true. And going back to the match at TakeOver, Bayley was awesome in that one because she has that quality. We were talking about this on Thursday, that she has that true underdog quality to her that people can get behind.
She has the ability to keep a gimmick going during when she wrestles. You know, she keeps up the whole, you know, cutie doll, wanna hug you persona. But also at the same time, when she does decide to go, you know what, fuck the hugs, I'm going to kill you. You know, sort of like she did leading up to this match. It just shows how much of a performer she really is.
Right. This question was asked to us on Thursday. I'm going to throw it out to you. Do you think she can bring this persona over to the main roster with the whole entrance and stuff like that? And the chatter, and the chatter compared it to Adam Rose. Do you think she'll have a better chance of success on the main stage compared to someone like Adam Rose? No?
Nope.
How come?
No.
This is the thing. TakeOver showed me something. Like this, going from this past Raw and TakeOver, the size of the arena makes the people who are over seem a lot more over than what they really are.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you take a look at, we had the Fatal 4-Way at TakeOver, and it went over like gangbusters. But you got to remember, that crowd is not even a quarter of what you're dealing with on Raw. Then you go to the tag match, which, within its own right, that tag match, for the time it was given, was excellent. But those guys garnered next to no reaction from the crowd.
Yeah, it took half the match for them to start getting any kind of noise. And that's
exactly
when they're going high adrenaline.
Exactly.
But to be fair, though, that's because most of the WWE crowd haven't seen them. To them, they're just, it might as well put four indie or local guys in the ring and have them go at a match. You know, like, okay, 25% of the crowd might know who the hell they are. You know, so in that situation, you have to win over the crowd over the course of the match, and you know, as we just said, they kind of did.
Yeah, and it took them almost going to their top percentage in order to do it. Whereas, you know, go back to NXT, those guys are over from the second they stepped out. I just find that a lot of the gimmicks that seem to work on NXT are great for small crowds. But when you start having to pander to tens of thousands,
yeah,
they're not quite keeping the attention. Adam Rose being a prime example. That gimmick was over like gangbusters in NXT. Bring it on to Raw, and it's sort of there, but it's not really there.
The opposite end
of the spectrum, of course, is the Wyatts.
That's exactly where I was going with that. Yeah, they were over.
How long did that take to catch on?
Not that long. I would give it a month or two before it really picked up full steam.
The thing is, the Wyatt, you're dealing with two very different gimmicks in the Wyatts and Adam Rose, naturally. you know, in a small arena. It's small. It's easy to get a small crowd to go along with something. But the more people you have, the more expectations you have in different directions, the more people are going to respond to something just because everyone else is. So a gimmick like Adam Rose, yeah, you kind of, yeah, it's, it works in a small crowd because the energy is really high, you know, and that's one of, especially with that entrance he had there. When you're right there in front of the crowd, that's like a really cool thing to watch, and then the crowd is not very deep, so everyone kind of gets excited, just kind of goes with it. Now you've got this whole arena. You know, so no one gives a fuck if he's getting carted around the ring like a mosh pit. Whereas, and it's a very superficial thing. Right. It's hard to get people interested in someone who's just very surface level. Wyatt, there's an intrigue there because the way he talks, the mannerisms, his dress, the dark, the lantern, all this, the followers, it's kind of mesmerizing, especially in modern WWE, where everyone has these very thin gimmicks. There's very little that has meat to it. Now you got this guy named Wyatt coming out, and he has ambiance. He has mystique to him. There's actual intrigue, and your brain naturally goes, "What the? How the hell is this person functioning?"
Right.
You know, and I think Wyatt got over so fast because WWE is starved for something like that.
And at the same time, they gave you something to look forward to. They hyped him up and allowed him to grow. They did not sour on him right away. And that's sort of the problem sometimes is, well, before they can grow, they sour on them.
Yeah.
And you also take a look at the way that the two were packaged. When Bray debuted, or was getting close to debuting on Raw, you never saw his face. You never saw Rowan and Harper as well. You saw the rocking chair, you heard Bray, that was it.
You saw Bray, but they were very, it was like, you weren't still right on his face for a minute.
Yeah.
There were flashes of here's the swamp area, here's this, here's that, and there's flashes of Bray, but there was not, you know, the screen.
As Omega said, they built the mystique around him. Whereas Adam Rose, they had those party vignettes, and he was smack bang in the center for the entire thing.
Right, and they were basically building an entrance rather than a persona.
Yeah. Building a character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, remember how a lot of things get started in the WWE, from millions of dollars to Fandango, is because Vince thought it was funny that week. Well, next week, he doesn't think that's funny anymore.
Yep.
A lot of it is just, well, what works right now? Well, we'll do it right now. And that's as far as I think it.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I know it's like it's almost like you were dealing with two different types of demographics with NXT and, you know, the main roster. The main roster wants something... They don't want the happy, peppy... You know, party time, everything's great personas. They sort of want something a bit more gritty, a bit more, you know,
edgy.
I don't want to use like down to earth or yeah, but probably like an edgy thing. That's why you take a look at, you know, Adam Rose hasn't really worked. Fandango hasn't really worked. Emma fucking bombed.
Well, they never gave her a chance.
Yeah, well, that and she fucked herself over.
Yeah, but the stuff that has gotten over is like CM Punk counter, you know, very anti-authoritative counterculture. Daniel Bryan, who is like not only a classic underdog, but the most intense performer on the roster.
Which is why I reckon Sami Zayn. You put Sami Zayn out as he is now, and the dude will be over like fucking gangbusters in 12 months.
Oh yeah. Because the problem now is you've got so few people doing those things that the people who are just immediate standouts.
Yep. But, yeah, I just... Like, a lot of people go, oh, this person's really over in NXT. They should really put them on the main roster. No. And I'll say the same for Bayley a million times. Her gimmick works in a small crowd because it's intimate. You feel like you can connect better with the wrestlers in a smaller environment which is why she's gotten over as big as she has. You put her on the main roster and people are going to be like, what the fuck is this? When did the retard escape the asylum?
I think she could work on the main roster if you tell the right story. If you tell the right underdog story with her.
Unfortunately, the underdog story isn't going to work in the main roster Divas division.
Well, you don't to have an underdog. You need someone who is a top dog. And right now, we really don't have that, especially the champions we've got now. You had AJ, but since then, her and Paige have been passing the title around, so you don't really have a consistent, strong champion to be the top dog to have an underdog story.
Right this minute,
but you're talking a lot of development in order to get that. It works in NXT because your champion right now is a fucking Amazon.
That's true.
See, here's the unfortunate thing. If you wanted to... And this is, again, this will be a very big surprise. I'm going to actually praise TNA.
Uh-oh.
With Jessica Havoc's debut, you can see that type of direction where they're going to build Havoc to be this... You know, because there's this big thing that she's going to be the big dominant component in their knockouts division. Because she has the extra height, she has the extra bulk. That's what the Divas division is missing. You know, take a look at all the women that are in that division now, they're all fucking sticks.
It's a shame they don't have much more karma now.
God.
Yeah, I know.
I was so upset that fell flat. That's the problem.
Biggest.
Yeah. That's the big difference between buying your divas out of a catalog and actually buying them out of the indie circuit. Because TNA, the one thing we've always credited TNA is their women's division has always been strong and very intelligently done. You know, they're the ones who put, you know, the likes of, you know, Karma or Awesome Kong at the time and ODB on TV. They're the ones who actually used Gail Kim properly. You know, that was worth watching in TNA. You know, they signed someone like Jessica Havoc that can actually do some actual good for a women's roster. Meanwhile, over TNA or WWE, everyone is kind of the same build, kind of the same look. Because they're going for, okay, what gives the teenage demographic an erection? And maybe we can teach them how to do a hip toss. Which is why I'm so happy when performers like Bayley and Charlotte and AJ and Paige and actual good wrestlers start coming up out of the works. Because every now and then, you know, they actually spot someone who can actually go.
Yeah, but that's the good thing about it. But like, I still don't know what it is. I don't think that type Bailey's gimmick, the whole, you know, I'm a peppy little hug crazy fangirl thing, would sort of work. Like, the only one I could see it working with is AJ, because they have those similar sort of weird high on sugar personalities. You know, but then after that, I don't see much of a future for Bayley. But at the same time, I'm still sitting here every week going, where the hell is my Hug Life Bayley t-shirt? Seriously, WWE shop, we want these t-shirts. We want Hug Life, and we want Bayley's gonna hug you on a t-shirt. Why are you not making them?
Because they just made a Vaudevillains t-shirt.
I just saw that and I'm like, I want it. They're actually one of my favorite tag teams. The Vaudevillians. I love the gimmick.
God. The Bayley t-shirt, you could do like how Jack Swagger's t-shirt is now with like two handprints on the back.
No.
It needs to be that little cartoony font that they use for her logo on the Tron.
Well, I'm saying like, oh, Bailey's going to hug you on the front. Then you turn over the back and it's got those two handprints where your hands go.
Here's a little tip. Those hand shirts aren't selling.
Big shock.
I know, right?
I'm nuts.
Oh, I get what you're saying, but they wouldn't sell.
It's a stupid shirt.
Whoever thought of putting a hand like that across your chest as a shirt? Well,
you know. It's like for someone who's too dumb to do the Pledge of Allegiance correctly.
I thought they just originally made a shirt so Swagger knew where to put his hand. That's what it seemed like at first.
Okay, when they swear you in court, wear the shirt, that's where your hand goes.
We'll make you one that has sort of a tie on it as well. So we'll have a part of a tie, then the hand over, and then boom. Yeah. So, we'll get a little bit more into NXT on the other side of this timeout. You're listening to WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Stay tuned. We're going to tell you how you can win a copy of the new book, 30 Years of WrestleMania. That's coming up later in the program, but when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more NXT and a few more things from Raw. So stick around. This is WTR Sunday Night.
Coming back, rise like cream. Kid with a dream, went from never seen straight to the face on a magazine. Now my team got anthem. Y'all frozen, a cold hook from the champion.
Hey, did you know that CB Radio is all over social media? Well, now you do, bitch asses. We are all over Facebook and Twitter. When it comes to Facebook, it's simple. Just go to facebook.com/cigarettebuttsandbandanas. All one word. It's not that difficult. Go ahead, enter it in your website address, fucking go to it, even search for it if you're really that lazy. Go to Facebook, search up at the top Cigarette Butts and Bandanas. You know, it's not that difficult to find us and like us. Come on, you listen to us every week. Just fucking give us a like. We're all over Twitter, too. Every single one of us is on Twitter. You can follow the show at CB Radio WTR. That's the letter R, you know, Q-R-S. I just can't pronounce it. You know, I'm from Boston. Suit my bitches. After you follow the show, be sure to follow me, the Boston badass himself, at Mr. Chris Loesch. L-O-E-S-C-H. All one word. That's in case you didn't know how to spell my last name. You can follow Rob Pox, you know, the godfather of extreme, at CB Radio G-O-E. And you can even follow Subway, who actually has got Twitter. He has a smartphone now and is on Twitter. So you can follow him, and hopefully he makes a little bit more sense there than he does on air. At X-Core Subway. Not that difficult, was it, people? Now stay a part of the fun and excitement that happens off the air, just as well as you do on the air. Every Saturday night at midnight-ish, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey, Wild Talk Radio, this is New York Times bestselling author Brian Shields.
The greatest professional athlete in the world today. Look at this. He's having a ball. I don't believe it.
And my new book, 30 Years of WrestleMania, is coming out September 15th.
The spectacle that is WrestleMania. This is it.
Pre-order it now wherever books are sold.
Here we go. Once in a lifetime.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
Do you feel a little bit empty inside after The Rack goes off the air on Thursday nights? Well, don't fret, because The Rack has a little something extra for you. in the form of the Rack Extra. Join us as we review the weekly happenings with your favorite Total Divas. From start to finish, we give you our reactions to all the relationship drama, the infighting, and all the trips to the plastic surgeon's office. Join us as we get all up in that Kool-Aid of the Total Divas with the Rack Extra, weekly right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Trust me, it's simply dabomb.com.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air. Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
I don't care what y'all say.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network. Keep listening, because Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
Welcome back to WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We're scheduled to be joined by Tim Stein at some point. He's on the road coming back home from wherever the hell he was. So he'll be here eventually to hopefully talk some Night of Champions with us. We sort of mentioned it earlier, but we'll bring it up a little bit now. We had NXT star Shine on Monday Night Raw. Sami Zayn, Tyler Breeze, Adrian Neville, and Tyson Kidd. And reportedly, we're going to see a lot more of them on Monday Night Raw. I ask the question, is this the smart move to make?
In terms of cross-promotion for, you know, to get people interested in watching NXT, yeah, it's a great idea. You know, bring out some guys, give them a small bit of time in the middle of Raw or something like that, and let them actually put on a good match. It starts to give them a little bit of notoriety with the fans, and hopefully after a few matches, it'll actually start getting people interested in either getting the network and watching the NXT product, or maybe getting an interest in getting some of these guys up to the main roster. But, you know, for a week one thing, it sort of bombed. Because, as we mentioned before, it took so long for the crowd to get into the match that it took them having to pull out some of the more risky and high-flying moves to get them to go, oh, shit, this is something different.
The lack of promotion brought that on.
The crowd is so trained to just go, oh, bad guy, boo, oh, good guy, yay. When you put four unknown guys, and yes, I count Tyson Kidd as an unknown guy at this point, in front of a live crowd that big, and people just go, I don't know what the fuck to do.
He had a WrestleMania moment, and you call him a nobody? That probably won't sit well up in Canada.
I don't care.
Who cares?
I'm not going to Canada anytime soon.
But do you think it's a good move to keep featuring them on Raw Weekly Omega?
In a short-term promotional thing, yeah. But if you throw them on there for too long, then there's not going to be any point to them being NXT talent. Mm-hmm. You know, I think if you do it for too long, it's going to diminish the people who did get called up to the main roster. Is that, well, these guys, you know, look how good these guys are, and they're still wrestling on the network show.
Right.
People we got from there, like fucking Adam Rose. Like, you need anything that makes him look any worse at this point.
And don't you think you're risk damaging them by calling them NXT guys?
Well, you call them NXT guys, so people know, oh, these guys are really good. I need to go over to NXT. You know, whatever they can do to push that $9.99.
Which they have a catchy commercial for now.
Nothing about $9.99 is catchy.
And the shirt on WWEshop.com.
Fuck off. Fuck off with your shirt.
It's only $9.99.
Swear to God. $9.99. Be a walking billboard for the WWE Network.
For only $9.99.
I'm gonna kick you in the fucking trachea if you keep that $9.99 shit up. No. No.
Continue your point.
I'm not a fan of keeping them there too long. But as a short-term thing, to make people go, oh, this is what I'm missing, fine. But doing it too long, you damage the talent that's been officially brought up from NXT, and you kind of water it down at some point. You know, because right now, they're better to watch on, and they're better to watch on NXT.
Would it be better that to showcase them maybe like once a month on Monday Night Raw?
Do it a week or maybe 2 weeks before you do one of these NXT TakeOver deals.
Which are like every 3 to 4 months.
Yeah. So you do it a couple of weeks before so people see a sample of what they're going to do, they're going to get if they go and buy the WWE Network for that price.
$9.99.
I was trying not to enrage the Omega, but
the Omega got sniped on an eBay auction today. I am enraged already.
You should have bid more money for the bids, like $9.99.
That was a stretch.
I know. Anyway, continue.
But yeah, that's pretty much all I've got, really. It's like, if you're going to use it as an example of what you're going to see if you purchase the network, then it's a great idea. But then, at the same time, you don't want to devalue the guys for their eventual main roster debut by having them out there, you know, every single week or rotating them through every single week as a part of the show. Because then when they come up to the main roster, people are just going to go, oh, it's this guy from the NXT portion of the program. Oh, I really can't be bothered. It just sort of labels them as the NXT guys instead of, you know, actually letting them become main roster wrestlers.
Right. That's sort of what I was going for with that point. Speaking of guys in NXT, one guy who made his debut at TakeOver, the introduction of Kenta, now known as Hideo Itami.
Yeah, because, you know, don't want to hand over those rights in case he wants to go back to Japan in a few years.
Which is good for him. He should keep his original name. And it's not like they're not going to reference his past as Kenta, which is a smart thing.
Yeah, I actually did like how they did that. Instead of just putting him out there and like, oh, this is Hideo Itami. You know, he's a champion from Japan. You know, what's he doing here? They actually did build him up as Kenta. They advertised him as Kenta. And they actually gave an in-ring, on-screen explanation, vague as it was, as to why he is now Hideo Itami.
Hideo. Apparently, it's one of his heroes, Hideo Nomo, the former baseball player.
Hideo, come on, we want to go home.
Supposedly, that was who he was referencing, I suppose. Yeah, I like that, how they did
it. Here's the thing. This is going to be one of those gimmicks that's going to take time. Like, name changes is going to take time for people to accept. Yeah, it's like Sami Zayn debuting. Everybody knew it was El Generico.
Because they still chant Olé.
Yeah, and it's going to take quite a while for him to catch on as Hideo Itami, because everybody's still going to be going, Kenta, Kenta, Kenta.
And I think they'll be all right with that.
Well, it chants so much better than Hideo.
Or Itami, Itami. Kind of, yeah. But at least they made it seem like it was his change. Which they don't sort of do with a lot of talent. They just say, here's their new name. But they put him out there and made it seem like this is his change. This is what he wanted to do.
Yeah. Putting it out there as his decision was the right thing to do. That way you're not alienating the crowd or anything like that.
Right, because they still were receptive. And I thought he looked pretty good in his introduction.
Except they need subtitles.
Yeah, in my recap I wrote, spoke Japanese.
Yeah. Like, I can understand some Japanese, but even I was still confused as to what the fuck he was saying.
They were talking about Funaki being the one who was helping him translate. You know, don't read spoilers, kids, but if you read the spoilers, Funaki shows back up.
I would
love for Funaki to come out as his manager, as SmackDown's number one translator.
NXT's number one translator.
No, still SmackDown.
Still SmackDown?
SmackDown, that's the gag.
Yeah, alright.
NXT number one translator, SmackDown still number one announcer.
There you go.
Indeed.
But they were live in Japan for NXT, so that's why they had to speak in Japanese.
Yeah, they mentioned that after his segment, that they were live on one of the Japanese channels for the first time.
Yeah.
And Renee needs some Japanese lessons.
She was very excited about hair versus hair, though.
That match was fun.
Does she have a shaving fetish?
She may.
That was weird.
Oh, wait.
Yes, and I'm so glad that they're supposed to be, what, New Jersey Italians or something?
Something like that.
And so on, and
they're just supposed to be Guidos, I guess you want to call them.
Yeah. Because it's the only time I've ever heard bold being BAWLD.
Yeah, same like soft as SAW. It's like, okay. Spelling doesn't go far there. So, there's that.
We're building a gimmick around poor literacy.
And the funny thing is, it's fucking over. At least on NXT.
Which, how do
you... I'm behind on my NXT. I have not seen these guys beforehand. That irritated the piss out of me.
So you don't want a soft t-shirt?
No! I don't want to hear the word soft spelled that way anymore.
Okay, I will give you this challenge. Since you're behind on your NXT, Omega, I want you to just jump on YouTube either during the break or after the show and at least take a look at the Vaudevillians.
Vaudevillians I've seen a bit of.
Yeah. Okay,
that's one of those gimmicks that pushes it a little bit to me. That reminds me of Deuce and Domino if they went even farther back. So you know it's 2014, right?
You
don't exist anymore.
Again, it's not one of these gimmicks that I'd see on the main roster, but something in NXT as something as cheesy as hell, it works.
To build the NXT...
That's the thing, though. Like, You're dealing in an era where, you know, you're talking about, you know, the differences between, you know, now and the Attitude Era, you know, the Attitude Era where they actually seem to get it a lot more. We're going back to this age where the gimmicks are getting just super cheesy. You know, and even the stuff we thought, well, this is just for NXT. No, look, Adam fucking Rose. Emma. Same shit they were doing in NXT. It's cheesy as hell. Yo, Bo Dallas. A lot of this stuff doesn't work on the big stage. We've discussed this.
But that's why Hunter's sort of building NXT as its own brand, according to him.
But it feels like we're going back to early 90s style characters again, where these people don't naturally exist in real life, but here they are in pro wrestling, and not in a good novelty kind of way, but in a really, do you honestly understand where society is at this point kind of way. You know, like I said, I don't see a difference between the Vaudevillians and Deuce and Domino. You know, they might sell the gimmick, you know, and they might work it really well. It's still a gimmick that I have a hard time supporting because it's just so dated. And I know that's an ironic statement for the gimmick, but I know, I just don't go for wrestling gimmicks like that anymore.
I see your point on that. In a little bit of a segue, not really, but Vince McMahon has decided that it's time to make sure somebody looks strong for a very long time. Get him a little more over. Make him very, very strong, and that's Superman himself, John Cena. He wants John Cena to be more dominant, even though others are saying he shouldn't be. What's your take?
How can you make a man who jobs like once when there is a blue-purple moon in the sky and the planets align look more fucking dominant than he already is? We call the guy Superman for a reason. It's because he is already the invincible. He already is the ultimate face. He already is the guy who cannot be beaten unless you're going up against the equivalent of Doomsday, which Brock Lesnar is. How can you make him look more dominant after one beating by Brock Lesnar?
How can you
God, he got crushed once by Brock Lesnar, and the company now, and Vince has gone in the panic mode. What the fuck?
It just screams of what Vince really thinks of his audience, doesn't it? It's like,
yeah.
Cena lost badly one time ever. We need to cut the legs out from under the hottest thing we've got going right now in order to still, you know, make sure they still think Cena has a chance of winning. You know, it's a very equal and opposite reaction thing, but that's not equal. Have him squash Randy Orton. No one gives a shit if Randy Orton gets squashed.
But we've seen that before. Wait, there's a penalty for inappropriate language in football now.
Wow.
What?
Yeah, unsportsmanlike conduct, inappropriate language.
No. We don't want you people. We can't have you people swearing while you beat the shit out of each other.
I'm done. Humanity's fucked. I'm over. Let's get out of here. Bring on the apocalypse. We need a fucking culling.
That's a penalty for sure. Okay, then. Back to where we were with talking about John Cena.
Talking about other things that make no sense. Booking of John Cena, ladies and gentlemen.
Because for storytelling purposes, having him look weak may actually get people behind him.
What did we say earlier tonight? People like a good underdog story!
You can only have an underdog when there's a top dog. And Brock is a pretty big fucking dog right now.
Exactly. And it, and the thing is, if you build Cena up to be another top dog, it just doesn't work.
I said it before, the only way that makes sense is if Cena gets demolished again. If you're, if they're booking him strong to convince you, yeah, he's still as strong and dominant as ever, and he goes up against Lesnar again, and Lesnar just completely demolishes him again. That's the only way this makes sense. You go, you, like, you go this route with Cena, well, maybe he doesn't have it anymore. Maybe he's just losing his edge. And Brock, meanwhile, looks like a fucking god. Which he should. You should be paying money to see who the hell can actually put a dent in him.
Plus, like, do they really need to build John Cena back up? This is the thing. It's John Cena, for fuck's sake. He got beaten once. I can still guarantee you that if you went into a Raw audience and said, who do you think is going to win the next matchup between Brock Lesnar and John Cena, you'll get a majority going for Cena. Mm-hmm. Why? Because he is John Cena. This just makes me think, this is just more fuel for the Vince needs to retire fire. Like, it just shows more and more that Vince has no clue about his audience anymore. That was my brain aneurysm for the night. Thank you, Rock.
And when we come back, we're going to get more brain aneurysms as we are going to talk all about Night of Champions.
Yay, aneurysm!
So on the other side, we'll tell you how, if you're in the United States, you can win a copy of 30 Years of WrestleMania, the brand new book from Brian Shields. On the other side, as we do pick 'em for Night of Champions, they're Mason Omega, I'm Soraka, and we'll be back on the other side right after this. This is WTR Sunday Night.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
It's boots to asses time.
From the big returns.
You gotta be kidding me! I see a ghost in Jones! Jake the Snake Roberts! What on earth? I've got chills out here!
To the shocking moments.
In case you haven't figured it out yet, what I do better than anybody is a jab. Last night was plan A. Tonight, plan B. There's always a plan B.
Oh my God! Are you kidding me? Rollins now pins Dusty Ambrose after he took out Reigns!
And the moments that leave you speechless.
He's got the whole.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com, and you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
Hey, Wild Talk Radio, this is New York Times bestselling author Brian Shields.
The greatest professional athlete in the world today. Look at this. He's like a star. I don't believe it.
And my new book, 30 Years of WrestleMania, is coming out September 15th.
The spectacle that is WrestleMania. This is it.
Pre-order it now wherever books are sold.
Here we go. Once in a lifetime.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Are you serious? That's the number two.
That's currently number seven. It was number two at one point.
Apparently it's big or something, but I don't know what the fuck it is. It sounds like a gang bang or something.
Techno gang bang. Maybe the world needs to end. End of the world Gangnam style.
Weird shit becomes popular. Like, I swear I've heard all about this stuff, but I don't... I was like, what is this, like a fucking martial art, or is this type of food or something? I don't know what the hell it is. Is it sexual position? I play my, you know, work schedule and whatnot, but...
Watch the video.
Okay, let me get the video then.
What the fuck?
It just gets weirder and weirder.
Something, 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 ah! Oh, I thought the people are going to be showing at the party. Oh, you Gundam style over here.
That's the horse you have, that's the horse
you have. Gundam style. Gundam
style. Oh, not the pelvic thrust. Is that Mr. Sulu in the sky? Oh, they're riding that pony.
Yeah, I know what it is.
That 800 million? Oh, I'm scared for the future.
Yeah.
This is why I don't go to clubs and dance, because I can't do this shit. Hey, I make sure the club's staying still. I'd lean on that wall. I make sure I got drinks in my hand, and I make sure that club's staying still.
Oh, yeah, he's going to be dreaming about him.
Oh, man, damn it. Now I got to... You gotta play something else, Rock. I'm having a wake up and start riding the damn donkey.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
God bless, I was made in America.
I'm Sergio De Morella.
I'm going to prove to you and everyone else that I am the greatest intercontinental champion, eh? Of all the time!
You're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
Welcome back to WTR Sunday Night Live, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We're getting into Night of Champions as Colin Kaepernick throws another interception right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. And, well, before we get into full pick'em, we have a prize for this one. For if you live in the United States of the Americas at this point, you can win a copy of the new brand new book available tomorrow, the Best Buy Bells selling author Brian Shields, called 30 Years of WrestleMania. All you gotta do is get the most amount of picks right in WTR Pick'em. It's that simple. We have two tiebreakers, so that way we have one official winner. To play along, just listen to one of the shows live, and we do pick up during the shows, whether it's CB Radio The Rack or this very show. You can join our Facebook group at facebook.com/group/WildTalkRadioNetwork. You can post them on our Facebook page at facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork, or you can tweet them to @WildTalkRadio, or send us an email, media@WildTalkRadio.com. All entries must be received by Sunday, September 21st, the Sunday, by 5 p.m. Eastern, to be eligible for the contest. That is, if you're in for the United States, to be eligible to win the prize, because, well, shipping costs a lot of money. So, with that all out of the way, it's time to get to pick 'em. If you want to play along in chat room, go right ahead. Oh, King Kansas is here. No, so you can't really put them in the chat room. Email them to media at wildtalkradio.com if you're in the chat room. Alright, so let's start at the bottom of the card and work our way up, sort of. Roman Reigns versus Seth Rollins. Thoughts on the feud build up, sort of, guys, and what's your opinion for the match?
The feud itself seems like a natural progression.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you have to keep Roman a little bit distracted with Randy Orton for a while.
Uh-huh.
You know, just make sure, since Dean's got to go off to shoot a movie, so we'll get his feud out of the way first, and then we can deal with the other of the scorned member of the Shield. Which, I was laughing at the start of this feud because the whole thing with Dean Ambrose was, he's just going to keep getting in the way. We have to take care of him now. And then the first night the feud for Roman Reigns started, Seth Rollins goes backstage and goes, we have to take care of him now.
Right.
It's like Seth Rollins' entire character has devolved into he's going to go tell on someone. I liked it for what it is.
What's your thoughts based on the build up?
Which match are we doing again? Fuck. On one of those days again.
Roman versus Rollins.
Big bunch of meh. Yeah, that's my whole thing. It's a big bunch of meh.
Insightful commentary from me. So, well, pick the match.
Roman. Easily.
Omega?
Seth with interference.
Interference from?
Kane.
Okay. That's the first matchup on the card. Next one to get your thoughts and opinions on is the build-up for WWE United States Championship, Sheamus versus Cesaro.
This has build-up?
Yeah.
Didn't they have a whole match last week?
They've been flirting with each other on Main Event and SmackDown and Raw a little bit. Play tug of war on Monday.
You know, Sheamus used to be the WWE champion.
Yes.
I just want to make sure someone knows, because WWE certainly doesn't. This just seems like a feud to keep people busy. I have not really gotten anything out of this other than we've got two foreign guys competing for the United States Championship.
So what's your pick again?
Sheamus.
Alright, what's your thoughts, Mace?
These guys can work well together. I saw them at a live event when they were down here, so I know they can go. The quote-unquote setup for this has been pretty lackluster, especially because I don't watch things like Main Event and SmackDown. So I missed like three quarters of the build-up. That being said, I'm actually going to give it to Cesaro. I don't know why, I'm just gonna.
Right. For those playing along in the chat room, restate your picks for the first couple matches. because King Kins is now in the chat room and I'll record him, so go.
He just got here. Put him to work.
Put him to work. Put him right to work. He just entered, so retype
in
your...
He's used to it.
Yes, he is. So restate your picks, and he'll catch something. All right. So, goes to Cesaro on that one. And he, as he said, I got worked last night.
Certain areas got worked.
Certain areas got worked, yeah. So, there you go on that one. All right. Rusev versus Mark Henry.
This is going to be the slowest match of all time.
Are you sure?
Was there a Mark Henry Great Khali match?
There probably has been.
It'll be a contender then.
A contender for slowest match of all time?
Possibly.
Possibly.
Possibly. I don't know, the build-up... This one kind of had a weird build-up, because they're trying to do this tag thing with Big Show and Mark Henry, but at the same time, Henry's feuding with Rusev, so it's kind of like half of one and half the other. It doesn't have a focus, it feels like it should.
Mm-hmm.
That said, it's another former champion. They're feeding to Rusev to bulk him up a little bit more.
To feed him to the strongest man alive, John Cena.
Yeah, because he looks too weak.
Yeah.
The fans have to believe in Cena.
Uh-huh. So you're going Rusev in this one?
Mm-hmm.
All right, what about you, Mace?
I've enjoyed this for the most part because it's like, hey, you know, the world's strongest man, you know, dude who's been in many American weightlifting competitions going up against Rusev, a guy who's been punishing just about everybody he's going up against. That being said, I agree with Omega, this is going to be the slowest match in history. But again, it's also two big balls going up against each other, which... in this situation, works. I still say Rusev's going to get it because Rusev will be falling to somebody a lot higher up the card. Probably Cena or somebody else. I still say feed him the Brock, but you know, nobody seems to agree with that one.
And remember, there was a battle royal on ECW, Kane versus Great Khali versus Mark Henry versus Big Daddy V. Just throwing that out there.
Oh, good lord.
Yeah. So you went with Rusev as well, Mace?
Yeah.
Alright. Just making sure they're recorded. Intercontinental Championships on the line. Dolph Ziggler versus The Miz. No word if the stunt doubles will be in respective corners.
This I've liked the build too. I've actually had a lot of fun watching this feud. Aside from being one of the rare people who actually likes The Miz.
Uh-huh.
I kind of like that he's got something a little bit different than the awesome guy. As a gimmick now, I've had a lot of fun watching Sandow as stuntman, and then more of the first week he was with Miz as like what seemed to be like the assistant makeup artist.
Uh huh.
That was funny. You know, and it's given Dolph a little bit of mic time. It's given him a little bit more spotlight that he deserves. So I've for the most part enjoyed this.
Who are you going with then?
I think I'm sticking with Ziggler. I think Miz has enough to carry him right now with his with it, now that he has a crony, I think he's got a little bit to carry him without having to keep a title on him.
Right.
Mace? Yeah, I'm going to skip the whole build-up thing because I mean, I pretty much said what I want to say. And I'm also going with Ziggler.
There you go.
Maze's prediction is ditto.
Yeah.
Ditto!
Divas Championship is... Divas Championship's on the line.
I was thinking the fucking Pokemon when you did that. Oh, God.
Paige.
Hey, instead of saying ditto, I could have said leader.
If you heard last night... No, leader is your ditto.
That one doesn't exist anymore, by the way. Remember, my 3DS has died, and I gave my game to a friend, so...
Damn it.
And if you heard cards, Omega starring in a porn with Lita anyway.
Yeah.
Divas Championship...
I hate you all.
Divas Championship is on the line. Paige, Nikki Bella, AJ Lee.
Two-thirds of this build-up I've loved. And then there's the part where Nikki gets to be in the title match because she's eating out stuff on the side or something. I don't know. I'm making up that side of the Divas storylines right now in my head. So it's probably
clearly
not accurate.
Clearly.
It's more interesting than what's actually going on.
Yeah, so that's why I figured that Jerry Springer was there for, you know, to set straight the lesbian love triangle that was going on. Because that's what Jerry does. And by settle it, I mean sit back and stir shit until a fight breaks out.
Okay. That said, what's your prediction?
See, I'm predicting a Brie interference, which is the only reason Nikki's not going to win. Aside from the other myriad of reasons she should not ever hold the Divas title. God, it's between the two nut jobs. Actually, I think I'm going to go with Paige, because it seems like AJ might spin off into something with Stephanie.
Mace?
Yeah, this was an absolutely brilliant build-up until we forcibly add Nikki Bella to the mix because total divas! I'm going to give you the worst-case scenario, and I'm actually going to pick it.
Oh, no.
Nikki Bella wins the title because total divas.
The twist would be Brie helps Nikki win it.
No. It's not even that. It's going to be Brie goes to interfere, accidentally railroads probably Paige. Nikki gets the sneaky 1-2-3 because we need to have a total diva as the champion while the show's going on because drama.
Well, there hasn't been a member of the cast holding the belt since the show's been on there.
They're up to season 3. What else would add a drama to the whole thing than one of them having the fucking belt?
I love that. Well, I love that. So, you know, they're putting the belt on a total diva because of total divas. Well, no diva on that show has held the championship during the show. Then they're due.
All right, so you're going, Nikki.
I'm right.
So you're going, Nikki? That's your pick?
Yeah.
Alright, Usos versus Goldust and Stardust for the tag titles.
Team Pedo for the win.
This is weird. Like, I have no idea why they turned them heel.
Because they were totally getting over as baby faces?
Yeah. It's like, it was so fun until they just started being assholes out of nowhere. You know, until then, you just got these weird things with movie quotes and cosmic keys, and fucking cosmic key reference makes me think of the live-action He-Man movie every time. God damn it. Usos have had it for a long time now. I think give it to the Dusts to pull this out a little bit longer. They get their cosmic key.
What about you, Mace?
Team Pedo for the win.
Alright. Chris Jericho versus Randy Orton.
Wow, talk about a throwaway matchup. It's like coming out of this weird feud with the Wyatts and Jericho all of a sudden, now we're going to be after Randy Orton.
Isn't it? It's so contrived, because, okay, well, for no reason we're going to have Randy Orton on the highlight reel. We're just randomly bringing back the highlight reel whenever Chris needs to start a new feud.
Or interview a Canadian.
Just as a prelude, and then he's still feuding with, then he's still doing the Wyatt thing, and now all of a sudden, for random reasons, you know, Randy Orton's going to start jumping him now. It's very bad when you've got two superstars of that caliber, that high up on the card, and we're calling it a throwaway.
Yeah. Kind of sad, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, in this throwaway, apparently, who are you throwing your allegiance to?
Whoa, 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 whoa. I'm a jerkaholic.
Okay, you're a jerkaholic.
That said, Jericho's going on tour.
Starting on the 17th.
So, yeah. I unfortunately have to go I have to go Orton, unfortunately.
Yeah, and I'm going Orton as well.
Alright, then it's the main event. The heavyweight championship of the world.
Brock.
So the tiebreaker question is the following.
We wanted to answer it as fast as that match is going to last.
The tiebreaker questions are this. How many German suplexes does Brock Lesnar hit on John Cena? That's the first tiebreaker question. How many German suplexes does Brock Lesnar hit on John Cena?
Zero. You're going to have Cena avoiding them like the plague this time around.
Okay, what about you, Omega? What's your
suplexes,
number?
Suplexes, my one kryptonite.
What's your number?
I think he gets one in.
Okay. And our other tiebreaker question is this. Will Dean Ambrose show up?
Oh, hell yeah.
No.
And the boys are split on it. Awesome. that works for me. So there you have it. That is Night of Champions. Pick 'em here on WTR Sunday night. As always, if you want to get involved, please do so. Send pics to media at wildtalkradio.com. Tweet them at wildtalkradio. Join the Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/wildtalkradio network. And if you get these all correct and you live in the United States of America, you can win a copy of the brand new book, 30 Years of WrestleMania, produced by DK Publishing, and the author, Brian Shields, who will be on the rack this Thursday night to talk all about the book. Again, picks must be in by Sunday at 5 p.m. Eastern. That being said, it's now time for the conversation to continue for the all-time greatest finishing move.
I am the greatest!
And, yes, that's still just a bumper because, well, someone still hasn't gotten it recorded. So, up first, Go to Sleep versus Rude Awakening.
It's actually quite an interesting matchup, really.
Yeah, it really is.
Mace, what's the Rude Awakening?
Omega, go on YouTube while I stall for you.
Thanks, buddy. Keep it a secret.
Okay.
To answer the chat room, it's just the GTS. No matter whose it is. Decipher for yourself.
The way.
So, what's your thought, Mace? What are you leaning towards?
I don't know, it's like both of them are interesting impact finishes with a decent setup. Just all depends on how you really want to go with it. I'm considering the options in my head, but it's like, essentially, you're picking your Rick Rude over CM Punk. Now, I'm going to go Rude Awakening. Because here's the thing. The Rude Awakening is just a neckbreaker. It's basically like doing the Diamond Cutter, but the opponent lands on their back instead of their front. Mm-hmm. And it's just one of those things of Rick Rude could, just like DDP, could hit that from anywhere, whereas the GTS requires the setup of Punk having to lift him onto their shoulders and then pitch over his own head to land the knee. So it's more the surprising of the hitting of the finish over the finish itself. Mm-hmm. Because let's just face it, you know, a knee to a face will end anybody, and that's essentially what the GTS is.
Right.
Plus, I know CM Punk's had a better finisher anyway, so.
Alright, so you're going Rude Awakening?
Yep.
Alright, Omega.
And he's watching.
Really?
What?
Really?
No, what? I'm okay.
What's your pick?
Oh. By the way, Chicago Bears over San Francisco, 28-20.
That fucker should have had that last catch.
Being an expert on the Rude Awakening.
As you are.
As I am.
If that's a video.
It is kind of just a swinging neckbreaker.
Well, more of like a hangman's neckbreaker.
It's a quick move, but, you know, Miz does one after a backbreaker.
Yes, he does.
You know, at least with the GTS, your settings, you know, You're setting someone up for like a very big impact directly to the face. Yeah, it looks like it hurts like hell when it's done properly. You know, and here's the thing: CM Punk might have familiarized with everyone with it. We just debuted the guy who invented the fucking move. And he won't be able to use the move he fucking invented because of CM Punk.
Yeah, I believe that he's using a double stomp now because of that.
Yeah, I hate the double stomp.
Give it time, he'll use the GTS.
No, he won't. It's so known for Punk, they'll start chanting it the second he does it.
They chant his name no matter what.
They chant his name when his wife's parading around.
They chanted his name during the NXT match.
Got booed out of the building for it,
which was tremendous. I love that crowd for that.
the crowd was on point to begin with.
Yeah. They also did a 999 chant.
Except that.
So where are you leaning towards?
GTS.
Since Tim's not here, I'm going to throw it to the chat room, and the chat room's leaning towards GTS. So we're going to go GTS moves.
Bunch of fucking mocks.
GTS moves on. Alright, up next in the conversation for the greatest finishing move of all time, the Jackhammer versus the Vertebraker. Mace.
Shut up, I'm trying to remind myself of what the fucking move was.
You know, there was this you know,
look it up. I'll stall.
You know, you were told this about a week ago, and you were giving the prep about a few hours ago. You could have looked it up then.
I believe it or not, I actually only got up about an hour before we went on the air, and I was more preoccupied with football.
That's your fault.
Screw you.
You had 7 days.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did. All right, you had like...
No, I didn't.
You had like four still. Anyway, continue. All right, Omega. Since Mace needs time, Omega, you go. Chat room, you're up too, so what do you think? Jackhammer or Vertebraker?
This is a weird debate. Like, these are two really weird moves to compare. Because you've got the Jackhammer, Bill Goldberg's finisher, and the Vertebraker, Shane Helms' finisher, hint, hint.
Yeah, I already worked that out.
Extremely different moves, because you got one that's basically a vertical suplex into a power slam. And it's physically dominant when you see it, because he held the opponents up for so long before delivering the slam. It really just showed off how powerful it was, which made it look like a good finisher when it would normally just look like a botched vertical suplex. On the other hand, you have the Vertebraker, which looks like it hurts like hell. That is a mean finish, and I love how it looks, but it's one of those moves like the Unprettier that just takes such a specific spot to actually put it in that I can't. There's something disconnecting about it. Mm-hmm. It's like we're playing Ring Around the Rosie to hook up, the proper like arrangement just to hit the move. So it looks really good, but setting up for it looks like they're dancing. And I can't believe, if you hold your arms to your side, he can't get you in this move.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of those, they both look like they hurt. One is one is too basic and one's too complicated. So.
Right.
In that sense, I'll go with the Jackhammer based on efficiency over complexity.
Efficiency over complexity. All right, Mace, you're up.
Yeah, I'm with Omega in the fact of, like, the setup for the Vertebraker is too much like a dance. Whereas the Jackhammer is it's basically a suplex into a power slam, and it's an extremely simple move. What sets them apart is the person delivering the move. you know, Shane Helms makes it look pretty. Homicide makes it look fucking deadly. Because that's also the gringo killer. But then on the other side of things, you've got Bill Goldberg lifting up guys like the Giant, Mark Henry, Brock Lesnar, Big Show. Like same guy, two different generations.
About 100 pounds different, you know, so you're still going.
Yeah, exactly. You know, lifting up, you know, the Giant or the Big Show, whatever, at, you know, 500 pounds is an impressive feat. And sometimes with the right guy, you've got Goldberg lifts the guy up and can walk around the ring for 30 seconds, and then before hitting the move and still making it look effective as hell.
For those new to wrestling, that's like Ryback walking around the ring with people up on their shoulders, and the fans should cheer Ryback at Goldberg years ago.
Yeah, well, it's like, yeah, exactly. Like Ryback makes his one look impressive when he picks up two guys equaling, you know, 450, 500 pounds, and then parading around the ring like they're nothing. That makes a move impressive.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm going jackhammer because, you know, when a man can lift up a 500-pound human being and parade him around the ring like it's nothing, that gets my vote.
Just some picks from the chat room went jackhammer, vertebreaker, jackhammer, vertebreaker, jackhammer, jackhammer. So everyone...
jackhammer in the chat room.
Yeah. They were it was close, though. So everyone, you know, it was a close call on that one. So the jackhammer moves on next week. On the show, the Chicken Wing takes on the Million Dollar Dream, while the Texas Clover.
Gee, that's a very similar move.
they're both types of moves like that, but there are little differences. And the Texas Cloverleaf takes on the Sleeper Hold. Yeah.
It's a submission-only edition of Greatest Finisher next week right here on Wild Talk Radio.
Exactly. We're going with submissions next week. Yeah.
Like three sleeper holds in that debate.
Two and a half. Anyway, so that's next week on the program, which will be live at 11 p.m. Eastern after Night of Champions. Right now, it's time for Quick Hits.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk Radio Quick Hits. That's right, it's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them. Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio Quick Hits.
These are pretty simple, quick hits, so get ready. Mace, if you could own a football team, what would you call it?
I don't know what exactly, like, which city I'd pick, but I'd use the name Bombers. Just to freak out all the Americans.
You would call it what?
Bombers. B-O-M-B-E-R-S.
The Bombers. Alright. That's not bad. Omega. If you owned a hockey team, what would you call it?
God, the Florida no chance in fucking hells. Yeah, we don't have ice here. How are we supposed to have a hockey team?
You have Florida has two hockey teams.
Yeah, only two.
Oh,
that's still, all the ice we have, Rock.
It's still two hockey teams. The Florida, what's a hockey?
I was going to name it the Canadiens, so it sounds like a good team, but there already is one. You know what? You know what? Since there is a team called the Canadiens, we're going to name it the Americans.
You would own the Americans.
Yeah. The Florida Americans.
There's already a Florida team, though.
Well, then now there's a third one.
Buy the Lightning and change the name. It's your fucking hypothetical situation. I'm just adapting it.
Well, it would be the Panthers because they are called the Florida Panthers. Anyway.
I'm so glad I don't know this shit.
So you would own the...
Speak of the sport and somebody appears.
So he would own the Florida Americans. Gotcha. So, Tim.
Well, you know, you'd have a hard time with the American Hockey League calling his team the Florida Americans, seeing as there's a team called the Amerks in New York, which is short for Americans. Not that I know anything about hockey.
Starscream Josh is like, fucking called it! Tim
Watch
Shaw.
Up, Starscream Josh.
Watched him come in at the end.
I drove down from frickin' Edmonton after work, alright?
Alright, Tim, if you owned a baseball team, what would you call it?
Does it matter what city I put it in?
No.
Okay, the Vancouver Wee take too many steroids and do fuck all.
Really? That's not catchy. You need a catchy name.
Okay, the Vancouver Ride Raiders.
There you go.
Yeah.
That you can put on a t-shirt. You would just be very long, run-on sense with the first one. Mace, if you could take a quality from Wonder Woman, what quality would you take from her and why?
Quality.
Yes.
Don't you dare take boobs.
Oh, actually. Probably be a sense of duty.
What? Okay.
Why is that?
Because I'm a lazy motherfucker.
Called it!
There you go. Alright, Tim, if you could take a quality from The Flash, what quality would you take from him and why?
The Flash?
The Flash!
That's a DC comic book person. Fucking DC Comics. Being able to knock three times and save Penny as fast as possible.
That's Sheldon's quality, not the Flash.
Oh, wait, that's Sheldon's Flash.
That's Sheldon.
Being able to get home from work faster.
Speed. There you go.
Speed!
Speed! And finally, Omega, if you could take a quality from Batman, what quality would you take from him and why?
Aquaman sucks. Shut up.
Batman.
You get Batman.
God, there is so many easy ones there.
And just remember, having millions of dollars is not a quality.
Shit,
no.
Well, that was my vote.
Now I take his planning ability.
Really?
The famous thing about Batman is you give him a week, and he, you know, the internet thing of who would win blank versus blank. If Batman is in one of the blanks, the answer is if he has a week to prepare, he wins.
So if you tell him a week in advance he's going to fight Superman, he's going to win.
Well, he could beat Superman right off the bat because the guy walks around with kryptonite in his pocket. Batman thinks of everything. That's why I want his planning ability.
There you go. And quickly,
it's either that or the ability to talk children into coming down to a cave, and I don't want that.
No, you don't want, no, that Well, we can bring that up on Saturday. Anyway, quickly, Tim. Brock Lesnar, John Cena.
Lesnar.
Jericho Orton.
Randy Orton.
Usos and the
Goldust and Stardust.
Ziggler Miz.
Oh, you fucker, you mixed it up on purpose. Ziggler.
Paige, Nikki, AJ.
If they give it to Nikki, I will personally kick somebody in the vagina. So I say keep it on Paige.
Cesaro, Sheamus.
Hold on. For the record, Tim, I'm the only one on this panel that has picked Nikki.
Yeah, so kick Mace in his vagina.
I'm going to kick you in your lady parts.
Okay, you make about as much sense as that storyline. Thank you very much.
Anyway,
that's the point. Thank you for picking up on that.
Cesaro and Sheamus, Tim.
I'm going to say Cesaro because Sheamus, Cesaro needs it.
In what was dubbed the slowest match probably ever, Rusev Henry.
Are you going to say Mark Henry?
Rollins versus Reigns.
Rollins versus Reigns?
Uh-huh.
Rollins versus Reigns. Could I call a non-finish thanks to Kane?
If that's the what you want to call.
What did Omega call?
He went with Seth Rollins with interference from Kane.
What did Mace call?
I believe Mace went with Roman Reigns.
What are you going to call this Thursday night at 10 o'clock Eastern on the rack with Lindsay Ward?
Find out then.
Fucker. I tried. Yeah, I'm going to say Roman Reigns, and it's all because Kane tries to help out. So Roman gets a win. I'm not going to say it's going to be by, DQ or anything. I'm just going to say Roman gets the win. Whether he actually gets the win from a pinfall or submission or a DQ. Okay.
Since we're giving a book away to our U.S. listeners, thanks to DK Publishing and Brian Shields.
Why can't you give the book to a Canadian listener? It doesn't cost a lot, any extra to mail it to Canada from the States.
It doesn't? All right, then maybe Canadians will be eligible. We'll have to talk about it.
North America.
There we go. We'll go North America. We thought it.
So if you live in Australia or Europe, sorry.
Yeah, as usual. Got to be biased against the Australians.
Don't worry. In about 20 years, your country will take over the world.
Anyway,
it doesn't really matter. In about 3 years, I plan to be living in the U.S. anyway.
Well, that just you're going to throw your hands in the air. Wouldn't you know it?
By then, we'll be able to give it away to people in Australia. Since we're giving away the book, thanks to Brian Shields and DK Publishing, we have two tiebreaker questions. Ready?
Uh-oh.
How many German suplexes does Brock Lesnar hit on John Cena?
3.
Will Dean Ambrose show up?
Hell yes!
Wow, that's exactly what someone else on this panel said as well.
Exactly?
Exactly, word for word.
Really?
Yeah.
Way to be, Mace.
No, wasn't me. And it wasn't Omega either.
No, he did
way
say...
To be.
Omega
way
did,
to be, Canadian.
Omega said hell yeah.
Well, Omega said hell yeah, but he didn't say 3.
No, I meant the hell yeah part. Anyway, that will do it for another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. I guess we're...
What a long show. I'm glad that you guys stuck with it, and I'm sorry that I just couldn't stop talking tonight.
I know, one of these days we'll get you to shut up. Tomorrow night is a Raw Post Show live at 11:10 p.m. Eastern, right after Monday Night Raw. So you check that out. As Tim would say, it's right after Raw. Get it? It's a Raw Post Show.
Spell it out.
No.
Take the first letter from each word in right after Raw, and just the first word, and put them all together. What do you get?
R-A-W. R-A-R.
R-A-R, really? Yeah, there you go.
Right after Raw.
Yeah, there you go.
R-A-R.
Right after Raw, right.
Right.
So he's pun fucked up.
Yeah.
No, I was trying to, like, say soak three times fast, Mace.
Suck a dick, Tim.
No, seriously, say silk three times fast.
No.
Rock, say silk three times fast.
Thursday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, it's another
you
edition.
You assholes.
It's another edition of the award-winning The Rack with Lindsay Ward and myself. Go back and listen to our interview with the one, the only WWE Diva and star of Total Divas, Eva Marie. Go back and listen to that interview at RackRadioShow.com and WildTalkRadio.com. This Thursday night, we will be speaking with the one, the only, Brian Shields, talk about 30 years of WrestleMania. Follow that show on Twitter at WTR_Rack and Facebook.com/WTRTheRack. Check out Lindsay on Twitter at Lindsay Ward and check out Herbie Hands at BeHands.net/Lindsay Ward. Saturday night, midnight-ish, right after we take Kinkin Souls. It is CB Radio, the weird, the wacky, and the usual. Follow that show on Twitter at CB Radio WTR and Facebook.com/cigarette butts and bandanas. We'll be right back here next Sunday night at a special start time, 11 p.m. Eastern, right after WWE Night of Champions. Isn't that right, Tim?
Rock and roll. I mean, pay-per-view. I mean, go Flames, go.
No, you mean the WWE Network for only $9.99.
Yes, what he said.
And you can follow this show on Twitter at WTR Sunday and Facebook.com/WrestleTalkRadio. You can follow me on Twitter at WildTalkRadio and Facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork. But you can follow Tim on Twitter, too.
Yeah, you sure can. I'm sorry, Rocky, just boring me. Oh, my God, you and your goddamn pledge. No, you can follow me on Twitter twice, as a matter of fact. You can follow at GoNHLGoal, or you can also follow me at The Man Kitchen.
Mace?
Yes, you can follow me on Twitter, at The Mace Thing. If you have a few minutes and want to check out some videos I've done, go to youtube.com/WTRGamesGarage, where I hopefully will have some new content coming as soon as I get some new games, which might take time, maybe, sort of. I guess stuff to review, it's just I don't really enjoy it. I got a Naruto game, for fuck's sake. Other than that, as usual, once he's former in the Highway Ringwood, Victoria 3-1, whatever it is, 3-1-5 something. Tuesday nights at 7 p.m. Magic the Gathering, standard play. Also, because people pressure me way too much to get more and more into this cardboard crack addiction, I also have a commander deck, so if anybody wishes to play that format as well, they can come down to the shop and play me on Tuesday nights. Also, this weekend I will be attending the Counts of Takia free release at Next Level Games. So if you want to come along and actually meet me in person, then go for it. I'm going to be at Next Level Games. And I'm done.
Omega.
As usual, my stuff is all found over at tjomega.org. For most of my video content, you can see TJ Omega on YouTube and keep up to date with me on TJ Omega at Twitter and TJ Reviews on Facebook.
With that being said, this has been another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio. We'll be back next Sunday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, with our Night of Champions recap. Tim, say goodnight.
Goodnight, Tim.
Wildtalkradio.com.